ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, guest to a party you didn't know you were invited to, welcome to Getting Franchised. I am the man who did this introduction. My name is Joe. And with me, as always for the show, is my good friend, Chuck. How you doing there, buddy?
Salutations, sir. I was going to try to do a Vincent Price voice.
That's fair.
I have zero idea of how to do his hello and welcome.
Yeah, so, I don't say his monotone, but his voice is very, it's a lower, but yet very effeminate-ish.
He has a weird inflection on his words. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. You can definitely tell a Vincent Price voice, at least you should, when he starts talking. However, I'm a big Vincent Price fan, and more recently, I just listened to, or just watched The Great Mouse Detective over on my other podcast for Patreon, and didn't realize, because for whatever fact my brain wasn't braining that day, that Vincent Price does the voice of Radigan in Great Mouse Detective.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, my brain wasn't registering that that was Vincent Price. And once I realized that, I'm like, holy shit, I'm an idiot. So, yeah.
I am, by the way, we watched House on Haunted Hill from 1959 and House on Haunted Hill from 1999. Welcome to the Vincent Price episode. I'll say this because I'm sure I've seen him a bunch of times. This is the first me knowing this is a Vincent Price movie I've seen.
Okay.
I am not hard up on Vincent Price like everybody else is, especially the horror community. Mm-hmm. I think puts that dude in like an immortal status.
Him, Christopher
this is
Lee,
the only movie I know him from.
Peter Cushing. There's another one that back in that era, like those four gentlemen were like the big time horror icons of their era, like 60s and 70s. Were just like, you want a horror movie, you had those guys. I know Boris Karloff was obviously another one. Who else was there? There was a couple that like you could not watch a horror movie without seeing these guys, and they were the icons. They were the guys that you knew were going to be in the horror film for that time, for that generation.
I feel like so what I will say about this is
Peter Cushing.
First and foremost, I am not a movie before the 70s guy. Especially black and white movies, especially movies, because like to me, all the movies from like the 50s and 60s are kind of all shot the same, and they all have the same like script writing and stuff like that. It is absolutely a product of its time, mm-hmm. and people who love it, I love that for them. You know what I mean? Believe in the part of me that believes in the part of you that these are good movies. Okay. That being said, I think that both these movies are great examples of products of their time.
Yes. I will give you that. Yes.
Which absolutely affected my score. I will say that my score for the first one was higher than what I was originally going to give it. Because I watched the second one, I go, oh shit, this is such, the 1999 one is such a 1999 movie. Mm-hmm. Like the whole vibe and the way it's shot and especially the special effects and all that stuff is 100%. Like I look at that and I go, this was every shitty edgelord gothy horror movie of the 90s that's my vibe, right? That's the shit I love. And then the 1959 stuff, the super campy, silly, over the top, that definitely is like what you're into.
Yeah.
And I love that for you, buddy. But let me break it down real quick in case you've never watched either of these movies. The original House on Haunted Hill from 1959 was directed by William Castle. It follows an eccentric millionaire, Frederick Lauren. Lauren?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. who invites five people to his isolated mansion for a party. He offers a $10,000 prize, which I hysterically laughed at.
1959, though, man. Like, 1959, $10,000 was
a lot of money. According to the, I forget which woman in the movie goes, this is going to help my, this is going to take care of my family.
Yeah.
$10,000 is going to take care of my family. I was hysterical.
Like that, yeah. $10,000 now will barely pay off my car.
Yeah.
Barely.
Easily. Yeah. To anyone who can survive the night. As the night unfolds, supernatural occurrences and psychological horrors play a central role, leading to a thrilling climax. Sure, why not? The film is known for its innovative marketing and use of gimmicks, which this is what I found really interesting, including Emergo. That's E-M-E-R-G-O, and it's in parentheses. I don't know what that... I guess some type of like immersion kind of thing, where a skeleton appeared in theaters. Critics have praised its campy charm and effective use of suspense, though some have pointed out the low budget production values. So I don't think that this movie had a low production value for 1959.
I believe Emergo probably was like the early four, sounds like early 4D. So like
interesting.
So like have you ever heard the movie Matinee with
yes.
John Goodman?
Yes.
So like you know in that movie he like and I mean you know what 4D is, right? Where they have the theater experience where like the thing shakes and all that. So it's just kind of that, like where it's something in the theater that kind of gets you involved with the movie. That's probably what Emergo is. It immerses you into the movie. Right. Because I believe I've heard of that as well, and maybe that's why I liked the concept of that, you know, like
sure.
I remember so my introduction into this movie
mm-hmm.
actually comes from the second one. Like I knew about the second one first. I knew about the 99 one first.
Right.
And I mean, I can explain the full story after we talk about the 99 one, but after we watched the 99, after I'd seen the 99, I had gone to Suncoast. Remember good old Suncoast.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found a DVD of the original and Last Man on Earth. It was a two disc or a single two movie DVD. Vincent yeah. Price DVD of Haunted House or House on a Hill and Last Man on Earth. Bought it. So I've got the original on DVD and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Still never watched it. Like I to this day, I never watched that actual DVD. The first time I ever watched this movie was about 4 or 5 years ago. I bought that DVD back in like 2005. Yeah,
that's about right.
Exactly.
That sounds about right.
Because I'm like, oh hell yeah, it's the original. I'll watch it sometime, and I just never did.
Yeah. I know that I have watched at least the opening to this movie, to the 1959, because the floating head monologue in the beginning.
Yep.
I don't know why I didn't see it coming, but it scared the shit out of me when I first watched this movie. I don't even think I was all that young. I want to say maybe I was in high school. And it was like we had cable at the time and it was like an on-demand movie that was like one of the free on-demand channels. Like you didn't have to pay a premium price.
Yeah.
Cause we had the most basic level of like that cable. And so I remember that scaring the shit out of me. And then I remember a skeleton walking downstairs, but now rewatching it, that's not in this episode, like in the movie.
I thought that was in the trailer.
So maybe that's what I watched. Maybe I watched the trailer,
because but I definitely remember that. Yeah, I do remember it
coming
that.
Down the stairs and I'm thinking, why is there a Halloween, skeleton going down the stairs? Yeah. But at the time, I'm sure that was unbelievably terrifying because people had never seen something like this before.
Yeah, because it's like full-on skeleton really interesting. Walking. Yeah.
Yeah. What I really found interesting about this movie is a lot of the stuff that happens in it clearly then gets used a gajillion times over, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know if this is the first use of jump scares, but it felt like it was the first use of jump scares. The one that got me, despite the fact that the second I jumped, I then laughed uncontrollably, is when they are, yeah, when they are lady. In the lady. Okay, which I need, we'll get into like the lady and then all collectively all the rest yes. of it. But yeah, they are trying to find, I guess, like the hidden door or something that mm-hmm. was in the room because the other guy got attacked and they're trying to like figure it out. And all of a sudden she just turns around and there's the, she's the blind.
Yeah, what, so what gets me, first time ever watching this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I've no idea what's happening. I'm paying attention. And all of a sudden, first off, when you're, she's looking, her, it's, I'm trying to remember the cast here. That one was Nora and yes, Nora. Lance. Yes.
Correct. Nora and Lance. Yep.
They are looking for, because the room itself, the other room they're in, it wasn't long enough. So they're looking for a door. They're looking for like where the extra room is at. And right. so Nora goes,
he was attacked when he went into, I think, the wine cellar or something.
Correct. And yeah. But there was nobody else there when they came and found him.
Right.
So
yeah, because they walk in and it's the tiniest room you've ever seen.
Right. And literally yeah. nobody else there. So yeah. he goes into the other room, is knocking on the wall. She goes in, is knocking on the wall, and then she turns around, and then there this lady is. And it's like, you didn't see her when you yeah. walked in? Okay.
And like, okay, so like we're supposed to believe that's probably a ghost, right? Because like
allegedly.
At this point we've been told that this house is haunted, that the ghosts are killing people that stay in this house. The guy who owns it, who is an alcoholic, yeah. let's put that, for a sure. raging alcoholic who is currently drunk during this event
the
that's happening.
The whole time, like, he gets there, starts drinking immediately, and then yep. is constantly drunk the entire time, talks about how the house is marking everybody, which is, that's another thing. Like, so majority of the time you could tell that, and for people who haven't seen the movie, the story goes that Frank or Frederick Lauren's wife is having an affair with Dr. David Trent.
Oh, right, Trent.
And they're trying to kill off Lauren so that they could get the money to go whatever.
Right.
She fakes her death and then is basically trying to make Nora go crazy to kill off Frederick.
Right.
So all that's happening. But then there's other stuff happening. Like there's blood dripping down at one point onto one of the other ladies. I think her name is Ruth. Like there's blood dripping down and Pritchard is like, oh, the house has marked you. You're not long for the world now. It's like, what?
Right.
What are you talking about, dude? And then, yeah, you've got the crazy old lady, blind lady, who is part of
a caretaker or something?
The caretakers, yeah.
Yeah.
Who they do mention in the very beginning that the caretakers are here, but they don't stay past midnight.
Right.
But you don't see them until literally they're getting ready to leave. And right. it's like, okay, then why did they not? Why? Where were they at until literally that one moment?
Yeah,
but okay. I don't know.
And also, why is there a blind woman hiding in the? Okay, so she's a caretaker and she's hiding in the basement, and then she immediately somehow floats away.
Yeah,
which like, didn't make any sense either.
I do love that scene because she is, you can tell that she is on like a little dolly.
Yeah, because she has the, you know, when somebody pulls and they have to like reset yep, themselves. Yep. Yeah. So you could see like she's, it's not smooth.
It's great.
Also 2.7 seconds later, fucking what's his nuts walks into the room. He would have seen her like, go past the room.
Exactly. It's classic, man. I love it. It's so great.
I was watching this and I just like, wow, This is gonna be rough.
That's one of the joys that I love about this, is because it's, for the time, this was something that I'm not gonna say that we're spoiled with what we have nowadays. The storytelling that we have, the graphics that we are used to, is on another level. What they did back then, everything was practical. You had to have, I'm not gonna say you had to suspend your disbelief, but you had to have a sense of like, this is real. You know, everything that they're doing was real. So you had to believe it, which, you know, if it was a ghost, if that was truly a ghost, and she were to disappear outside of that room as soon as she crossed that threshold, then yeah, it would have been, like, he would not have seen her as soon as she, like, that lent the believability. But then when you get to the fact that, oh no, she was the caretaker, yeah, no, he would have seen her the minute that he came running into the room. Like, she would have been, like, two steps away from him. And you didn't, like, it does start to fall apart immediately when you start thinking about it. But, like, by the point you think about that, you know, it doesn't. The thing that, here's the thing that I don't get, though, is later on, after Mrs. Lauren fakes her death, once you realize that she fakes her death, and she starts to mess with Nora, like, she's outside of her room, floating, using air quotes. The rope?
Yeah. That was another thing where I was confused. I was like, wait, she's outside and she's floating and she's dead. So, but at that point, we don't know that she's, this was all set up.
No, she is. I thought we did know by that point.
Did we? Okay. We did. But regardless, that doesn't make sense. Like, how does that rope do that?
Yeah, the rope coming in, wrapping around her feet, and then unwrapping and going back. Like, it weird. And it also falls with the blood falling down. Another weird part. There was another moment, which was also questioning. I can't remember what it was.
The severed head. That was a plant, right?
Yeah, I think that was just Trent, like, messing with Nora, pushing her over the edge.
Right. But that was kind of my thing about the, and maybe that was the point of the movie, is at the end of it, it's like, wait, is this house actually haunted? Or was this all, like, a ploy? To just, like, exist and stuff, because it ends with the drunkest man on the planet being like, the house has marked me, it's coming for me next, and then it's probably going to come for you. And like, that's how it ends. And I had, like, 36 new goddamn questions and no answers. Also, why is there a vat of acid in the basement?
I mean, technically... Oh. Sorry, I just got a message about something. Technically, the vat, it was supposed to be a vat of wine, and then acid got put into it, and it just never got empty.
Nobody thought, hey, we should probably empty this out?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, how do you empty out acid? I honestly have no idea how you empty out acid.
Like, back then?
It's not buckets? Something you just cut...
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't apparently corrode. Yeah, it doesn't apparently corrode. It only corrodes flesh, but not bone.
I will say, every time I see this, though, I can't help but think of the Vat of Acid episode of Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Because as soon as, like Pritchard, like, as soon as they talk about it, he grabs a dead rat and, like, throws it in there. And it starts bubbling up, and then the rat bones come floating up, and then they float back down.
Also, a bunch of caretakers. Nobody's fucking cleaning up dead rats?
Right? Well, they probably don't go into that part of the basement very often.
I guess they go into that room in the basement.
But she's blind. She's blind, though, so.
Oh, that's true. She is blind, just walking around like an absolutely terrifying monster with her hands up in the air. Classic, what? I'm going to scare you pose. So also, it doesn't corrode concrete, which is apparently what it's in. It doesn't corrode the wooden door that's above, you know, that's keeping it closed.
Is it in porcelain? Because, like,
no, it was just a hole in the ground. It was just like concrete hole in the ground.
Okay. Well, see, if I learned anything from Breaking Bad, it's, you know, you put it in a bathtub. True. And that way, it doesn't.
They didn't know that back then.
that's also true.
It only apparently, and also bone doesn't dissolve in it, but like flesh and everything does.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
It didn't make a lot of sense. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Vat of acid episode, buddy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So the whole point is that like Frederick knows that the affair is happening and has set them up actually. And then he actually ends up then killing his wife.
Yeah, so they freaked out.
Mistress?
They freaked out Nora enough so that Nora ends up going to kill Frederick. But Frederick knew what was up, and he had loaded her gun with... because he had gave everybody guns as a whatever.
Which deterrent. the drunkest man tells everybody, you can't shoot ghosts with a gun.
Which, like, I mean...
he's not wrong.
Yeah. But she shoots him, kills him, and then
because he had loaded hers with blanks.
Yep. And then in the basement. So then Trent comes out of an alcove, which had no apparent actual way into the alcove. So how he got in the basement that way is weird, but whatever.
Don't know.
We'll overlook that, I guess. Yeah. I also find it hilarious that the lights go out as soon as he goes to try and kill, like, take Frederick over into the vat. Uh-huh. And, you know, then all of a sudden, Nora comes down. We see the best, like, use of the skeleton ever as it comes floating out of the acid.
Yes.
And how, like you couldn't see the strings?
He incorporates a Wile E. Coyote ropes and pulley system of pulling the skeleton up out, and then he's wearing just the stupidest thing I've ever seen, which is like, I thought he was playing a piano at first.
It's very very marionette of like pulleys and turnstile. Thing.
I hate that the only thing I could think of was Freddy got fingered when he's like, Daddy, do you want some sausage? That's the only thing that came to my mind when I was watching this. And I'm just like, Oh, no. It was not. Yeah. So I understand why he invited, like, the person Nora was having an affair with, Trent. But why did he invite everybody else?
Yeah, unless we take the what he said at the very beginning to heart, what they all needed the money, and maybe witnesses. Like,
I guess that would make sense. He is literally Mr. Beast. He's got so much fucking money that he's just making people do fucking competitions.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah,
but that's fucking wild.
But at the same time though, what did he kill anybody? Because honestly, they didn't see him kill anybody.
Yeah.
Like, his wife committed suicide.
Right.
Dr. Trent disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not. So, I mean, you are not wrong. You are not wrong there. So it's still. So this movie is unbelievably campy, and I don't disagree that when it came out, it was probably utterly terrifying, right? And then as we progress, It becomes very, very campy.
Mm-hmm.
Which then brings me to the 1999 movie, which I then go, wow. Let me read the little synopsis here that I have. The 1999 remake, directed by William Malone or Maloney?
Sure.
It's Malone. I didn't see a lot of other things that he had directed.
Is there no umlaut? If it's no umlaut, Malone.
All right, so it's Malone, no umlaut. Okay, so Malone. Updates the story to with modern special effects and more graphic horror approach. It features a group of people invited to a haunted house where they must confront their fears and the spirits that haunt it. The film stars Jeffrey Rush as Stephen Price, a character inspired by the original Lauren and Taye Diggs. And Taye Diggs is in it, and
Famke Janssen.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Famke or Fami. Famke Janssen. That is
Jean Grey from
Jean Grey. That's what I thought. Okay. And then others in supporting roles. It emphasizes horror elements and character backstories, making it more of a slasher film, which I don't agree with that.
I would say it's definitely more of a horror film than slasher.
Yeah, I did not consider this a slasher film.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was weird that's what they had written, that this was like had more slasher elements. I guess if the house is the monster, yeah, that is the slasher.
Yeah.
I
mean, it definitely slashed up what's his name.
Yeah, that's true. So controversies and reviews. The remake faced criticisms straying too far from the original charm and atmosphere. I think that is only in the context of this coming out in 1999. I think in the lens of 2025, this does still have the charm and atmosphere of the era which it came out, which is what the 1959 one also has, right? Its charm and its atmosphere is based at the decade that it came out.
Yes. I would agree with that.
This one does keep that. It is. It's just darker. It's like a more goth aesthetic of the 90s, you know, 99, mm-hmm. yep. early 2000s. Yep. It's very shitlordy that way.
Well, it takes the actual plot of the 59. It takes the story, mm-hmm. of, hey, we're going to have a birthday party in this haunted house.
Yep.
And we're inviting these people. If you spend the night, you're going to get money.
Yep.
But then it adds the element of the actual horror element of it. Okay, we're going to throw in the house is actually haunted by ghosts. We're going to throw in, why are these people here? Oh, yep. They have a connection to why the house is haunted. Which I liked.
I love that. I did. I was like, this is the most 90s thing ever.
Yes.
That the house has the power to travel through internet cables able to fuck with the guy's email.
Well, like,
okay, Corky Romano, whatever you say, buddy.
If it could do that, why not just go kill him outside? Like, why does it have to be in the house?
Yeah, I guess to become part of the house is the theory?
I think so. I think it's to become, like, to keep them there. Like, that's all. Because those five individuals left, they want to bring them back. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if that's also the case, they wouldn't have let them get away, like, at the end.
Right. That doesn't make any... It should have just been another Final Destination, like, situation where Death tries to bring them all back to the house to then die, right? yeah. This is it emphasizes the horror to the main characters more. So it got criticism for not having the same charm, which I don't agree with. Some viewers feel that it relied too heavily on gore and special effects. I think that was just a product of its time.
I mean, 99, we were definitely like heavy on the special effects.
Yeah, special effects and like things were getting more violent and more gory.
Yeah.
We hadn't hit like Hostel territory yet, but yeah, they like the doctor cutting open the guy in the very beginning and stuff looked very, like, in today's terms, looked very cheesy. That looked very silly.
Yeah.
And also, like, people Just the overall monstery look of people that the house kind of turns them all into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought
That
was
was
kind
weird.
of interesting. Well, so I figured out that half of them were like burn victims. They were supposed to be like because the house essentially burns down
Yeah, because it
all
catches
the
on
first time.
fire.
Right.
Yeah, and they all got caught in it. Yeah.
Which I love the idea that this house got caught on fire and it's been restored. But like I guess because like the majority of the house was concrete, it was like an insane asylum or whatever
Yeah, exactly.
originally.
Hospital.
Yeah, where they were doing horrific tests on like mentally ill patients, and stuff. And this doctor was I don't remember the doctor's name in the remake of the, but they also give a reason to of like why this house is the way it is, right? So they. Like this house burns down, and I guess because it was concrete, it wouldn't have burned down.
Yeah, the
But like,
structure is still there, but like the innards were gutted, basically.
right. But the thing that I questioned was the mural glass that was above. Why did that survive the fire?
Yeah, if glass tends to melt in
Yeah,
fire for the most part.
especially like stained glass. Stained
Yeah.
glass is actually slightly weaker than regular glass because you have all these other pigments and things added to it.
Unless the fire didn't reach the foyer area, unless it stayed in
Not how
the, yeah, you're not wrong.
it looked. Also, there were a bunch of people essentially burned when the police go in to like examine it or whatever, and there's all these like dead burnt bodies, but the house itself is not damaged in any conceivable
Yeah,
way.
yeah.
Yeah, I did laugh at that. I was like, that's just clearly they were told they could not fuck this setup.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So you can't do anything that isn't cleanable. But so pretty much everybody was like, wow, this is it was praised for its performance in visual fare on some aspects, and other people said it lacked substance compared to the original. I disagree. They actually make it this house make sense. They got a reason,
They
albeit
make
a stupid reason, but a reason why everybody has to be there.
yes. They make the house a character in and of itself. They make the
Right.
house something that you have to fear versus the first one where the house is just a prop, you know?
Right. I will say this though about this movie. So I think I've seen House on Haunted Hill at least once, all the
Okay.
way through. But I often confuse this movie with 13 Ghosts for some reason.
Well, they came out, I want to say around the same time.
Probably, yeah. I always
Oh,
think Matthew Lillard is in
two year
this
difference.
movie.
So 13 Ghosts,
Okay.
the remake, because there is an original.
Right.
The remake came out in 2001.
Okay. I always think that Matthew Lillard is in the House on Haunted Hill because he was doing everything in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I always think he's there. But I also remember the the bodies, like the guy sitting on the horse and the baby that they have in the basement that are like taxidermied.
Yeah.
I remember that in 13 Ghosts. I don't remember that here. So I thought that was interesting. I also remember them being not as like dirty and like all like they were in the like a basement for so long, right?
Okay.
But it's still the same premise. The plot doesn't change.
Correct.
That
For the most part, yeah.
which yeah, for the most part, which by the way, shout out to Jeffrey Rush for being a perfect Vincent Price in my
Oh,
opinion.
yeah.
I liked that the his character's name was like last name was Price, so they were like trying to pay homage to Vincent Price and stuff as Stephen Price. I
Yeah,
thought
because
that
I
was
want
really
to
good.
say Vincent Price passed not too about 6 years prior. So I
Yeah,
think it was probably
so
like in the making of this movie. So
right. Which was hilarious. My mom thought he was still alive, and I was like, Mom, he was like 60 in 1959. he's not still alive, I promise.
yeah,
Yeah.
I think Edward Scissorhands was his last movie. I want to
Okay.
say Thriller was what he because he did the Thriller video
Right.
For Michael Jackson.
He did the voice.
Yeah, he was that voice, taught the speaking voice. I would say that was one of his last things as well. So
that's crazy.
Always fun. Always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like Vincent Price is not somebody that I seek out, but nowadays I probably would enjoy more of his later work, maybe, or something.
So I know you just watched the 59 House on a Hill. Yeah. Give it come October. What you need to watch is the Riff Tracks one. Of House on a Hill, because I should have brought it up earlier, but they covered it, and you know, it's Riff Tracks, so
they're always
fun.
True.
They do a good job.
Keep that in mind.
But yeah, no. So, House of Haunted Hill, the 1999 one. I've got a fun little story with this one. Mm-hmm. When this came out, I was 16. Yeah. So, I didn't see it in theaters because I would have not been able to. I didn't have a car. So, my girlfriend at the time was my ex-wife now. She had rented it in late 2000, early 2001, something like that. And her and her friend had, maybe it was mid 2000, I don't know when. Her and her friend had rented it and was watching it at her place. And I had come over for whatever reason. And I had knocked on the door. I scared living shit out of them. Because they were in the middle of watching it. I hadn't meant to, I just did. And apparently scared them so much, you know, they stopped watching it. I'm like, oh, if you guys aren't going to watch it, can I watch it? So they gave it to me. I went home and watched it. Freaking love this movie. I think I went out and bought it, you know, shortly thereafter. And then shortly thereafter that, finishing up, going to get the 59 DVD. And then obviously never watching the 59 version until recently. But yeah, like that was my introduction to this movie, was scaring the shit out of my ex-wife, which is hilarious. But look, this is a movie that I've seen multiple times.
Yeah.
And there actually is a sequel to this movie, Return to the House on Haunted Hill. I believe it was a direct-to-video
movie. Oh, that tracks. That would make sense.
Yeah, it's not great. I watched it a couple years back. It's got nobody from this movie in it. I take it back. Jeffrey Combs, the doctor who is in this movie, comes back. And he's like a doctor again. He's a doctor again doing something, making a bunch of students go crazy. But yeah, it's about that one is about college students trying to go into the house and trying to film something. And it's not great. It's really bad. I would recommend not watching it.
Yeah, that'll be a skip for me.
Yep. But this one, like you said, is definitely a product of its time. It's the graphics for it. One thing I really liked about it, one thing I thought they did good, is that you have Ruth's character, like the news reporter character coming in, trying to be the entertainer. She's got a camera the entire time. She's walking around trying to get a news article. And one thing I really liked is that as she's walking around the basement, she goes into like the operating room and doesn't see anything. But as she's filming something, she sees the doctors operating on somebody through her camera. And I always thought that was really cool. I always thought that was a really cool scene.
Of course
she gets got, but you know.
Right. And I like the classic, like that video camera where like it loaded the VHS tape in the front, like that was such an iconic piece of equipment of the 90s. Like that was like, if you had one of those, you were like either like a real, like a person trying to really become like a film photographer, like, you know, like a video photographer, or you just had a lot of fucking money. So things were unbelievably expensive.
Yeah. My brother had one. I don't know. I mean, I know he didn't have a ton of money, but I also know he worked for some people who, I think he got it. It was loaned to him. So.
Okay.
But also, like, it was also one of those things where obviously these guys didn't know what was going on. They get to the house, and literally both Stephen Price and his wife, Annabelle, have no idea who these people are. And that's one thing I did like, is that as soon as these guys enter, like both the Stephen and Annabelle, they're like, yeah, I have no idea who these people are. Like,
yeah,
we invited you, I guess, but like, I mean, you're not. Annabelle's like, I had 2 pages of list. Why didn't you invite any of these people? It's like, yeah, no, I trashed that list. I invited other people, but these aren't the people I invited either. So I don't know what's going on. Which I also thought was cool. But the fact that it was only like 5 people total and nobody puts anything together. I mean, until later, obviously.
Right. Until they find like a book or a newspaper or something that was like the 5 people missing.
Yeah. They go digging around because they're trying to, because they're stuck in the house. And I believe it's Sarah and Eddie go into the doctor's office, and they see that it's the staff that was able to escape. And, that's who they figure out that they're all descendants. Although, you know, we also figure out that Sarah is actually not anybody, because the invite was sent to her boss that she took the invite from, because I believe she had just gotten fired that day or something, or I can't remember exactly what. And she wanted to get back at her or something like that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I did also love that, like, at the end. So we have Price, and he is like set again, the whole affair is like happening. She's trying to kill Price.
Yep.
They need to make him look insane, right? So they trap him in this like vortex machine thing. Yeah, which I thought was like really cool and interesting, but he like survives that, and then he starts to proceed to beat the shit out of his wife pretty much.
Yeah.
And then knocks her through a wall, which is where the most evil part, again, Corky Romano's character brings it up. Chris Kattan is out here just being in movies in the 90s, and I keep forgetting that, but he'll never not be Corky Romano to me.
I mean, Corky Romano was a great movie too, though. I
loved it. No, but none of, I think you and I are the only two who ever liked that movie.
That's fair.
I thought it was fucking hilarious. That's a great movie. The shit out of that movie.
Yeah.
And really, really liked it. But alas, he's still in this movie, and he plays essentially the drunkest man in the world. That's kind of his role, the caretaker. But he mentions, who's also drunk in this movie.
Yeah. He plays Pritchard. He plays the same character. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he makes a big point that he wants his fucking check because they're renting. Yeah. And Price is just like, yeah, whatever. You get your check. Don't worry about it. That's like a typical rich person.
Yep.
Bullshit. Again, he is just Mr. Beast in this movie. but he knocks her through a wall, and like, he brings up the fact that this house has true evil in it, not just the ghosts, but this like true evil. Mm-hmm. And that unlocks the evils of this house that then absorb her and takes her over. And that's when I was like, wow, this is such a 90s looking movie. Spunky Continuum, man. It's almost a 101.
Right. After that point, like from that point on, that's when the graphics are just like, okay, this is not great. Up until that point, the graphics were fine. Everything looked good.
Everything was for the most part practical. Or if it looked bad, it made sense that it looked bad. Like when he's stuck in that like the spinning room vortex thing, the guy that appears, which I think is supposed to be the doctor or something,
I believe so. Yeah,
doesn't look great, but I don't think he's meant to look great. He's supposed to look like an old timey, like,
yeah.
So like that made sense. Yes, but then the Then the very, like, it's hard to tell what we're looking at, very translucent, evil ghost thing. The essence of this house comes out. But I love I love that this thing is about to kill Taye Diggs' character, and he just yells, "But I'm fucking adopted!" Which the house doesn't seem to care about that.
He's cared about
No.
your name.
Yep. But they are able to escape and survive, and then somehow an envelope also falls out, which has all of the checks in it.
Yeah, $5 million, all made up cash. And I do like how Sarah, Ali Larder's character, asks, like, okay, so how are we gonna get down from here? At least she's being practical. Like, how do we leave? I'm not
They're
going
not
back through
gonna
that house.
they're not gonna be able to get down that.
No, they don't have a phone. I'm pretty sure they've already
No.
lost all their phones at some point in
Yep.
time. You're stuck. You got
Yeah.
5 million. You're a millionaire now, but you can't leave. No one knows you're there.
Right. Now, the one thing I was kind of confused by, because it felt like a forced part, is her character's, I don't know if it's a reason that she was there, but like she clearly had this like trauma-based thing with like a relative who died or something, because the house is like trying to speak to her of like the dead relative or something. Or was that supposed to be one of the people from the house?
When they were running upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the Ruth. That was
Oh, that was Ruth? Oh,
the
okay.
camera. Yeah,
I
the
thought it
camera
was
girl.
like her sister or something.
No, no,
Like
no.
she had like
That
a
was
younger sister or something. I was very
yeah,
confused.
that was the entertainer lady Ruth with the camera.
Okay. What? No, you couldn't actually make out anything you were looking at.
Yeah, everything was all
So,
distorted. Yeah.
yeah, and then it looked really weird. All right. With that being said, let's anything else, Joe? You got any other feelings about this?
I'm trying to think. I do feel bad for David in this one because he was doing everything for Mrs. Lauren, and then
Yeah.
she just, she killed him because they needed another body to prove that Price was going off all crazy. Yeah, totally sucks for him. We do get a fun little cameo of Lisa Loeb and Spike from Buffy and Angel. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I thought he was
Also,
going to be in it more.
which is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot that they were in it until I saw the credits, and I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of fun. Also, yeah, we didn't even talk about that opening scene where he's got an amusement park.
Yeah, he's got an amusement park whose whole thing is that he wants to terrorize people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which that's kind of fun with the elevator. I like as soon as I saw that, I remembered the whole elevator scene, which was fun.
That is literally just the Tower of Terror. That's the Tower of Terror ride.
Basically,
Yeah.
yeah, basically,
Yep.
just without straps.
Yep.
But then, what's really not practical is that roller coaster because the other coaster being literal, I don't know, yards ahead of you
Yeah.
is 100% not safe.
Yep.
And to have it be where that is flying off constantly, you have to reset that. I'd hate to be the people who have to reset that
Yeah,
coaster,
I did not
that one every
understand
time.
how that worked.
I mean, it's to freak out the people behind you, sure, but like that would fucking suck
Yeah.
every single time.
Also, there's a part of me that says the once you see it, I don't think it matters anymore. Like the first
Yeah.
time it happens, that makes sense. But if everybody's standing there, unless that happens in a location where nobody else can see it except for the people that are already on the ride, I didn't get that.
But it still falls to that same trope, though. The first time you see it on the ride,
Right.
next time you ride it, oh, I know this is gonna
Yeah, I
happen.
know what's gonna
I'm not
happen.
as scared now.
Right. I also love how his they're like, well, what makes this different? And he's like, you ever seen one start at the top? I just
I mean,
No, I
yeah,
have.
kind
You're
no,
right.
but like it doesn't really. You still have to go up a little bit and then drop. Like it's not
They didn't.
really.
His theory didn't make it. That was 100% the most corporate marketing answer that I've
Yeah.
ever heard. Like, it's like, oh yeah, well, it's just our brand. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I cringed kind of hard at that, but
It's all good.
it was
But that's really all
still
I
enjoyed it.
got
I
for
still enjoyed
this.
it.
Now this movie, I love this movie. It's one I watch every year or two, every couple of years. It's I do every time it pops up on a social media, on a streaming service. I'll put it on during the Halloween season. It's one I've seen enough that between both of these, actually, I've seen them both enough that I will pop it on as a background noise that I love to have it on
That's super
just to
fun.
watch.
That's super
Yeah.
fun. All right.
So.
So, to our scores, House on Haunted Hill, 1959. IMDb scored this a 6.7. Joey, what do you give it?
That's not a bad score because I'm giving it myself because I love this movie. Like I said before, it is one that I have enjoyed over the last couple of years. I do enjoy some of the older stuff. The campiness of it, I appreciate it. And I do like Vincent Price movies. There was a good, I think the first year I watched it, I went through a ton of Vincent Price movies. And this was probably why. I gave this one a 6.8.
6
It's a movie I really like.
6.8 is not a bad score. Not a bad
Yeah.
score. For me, look, I did not enjoy. I was not quite in the mood for a super campy 1959 horror movie. Again, black and white
That's
horror
fair.
movies, anything before the 70s really isn't my jam. I find them slow and drawn out, and the acting. I did take notes a little bit. I started taking notes. And the first note that I wrote on is, "Damn, these bitches do be screaming."
A lot,
Yeah. Like,
so much, and honestly, I think it's like the same scream every time.
it
They
was.
just
It was like
recycled
the
it.
female horror Wilhelm scream. Like, that scream
Yeah.
gets used in every single like horror movie of that era.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow, these bitches do be screaming. All right. That being said, my score actually went up a little bit because I watched the 1999 version afterwards. And I realized, yeah, these are products of their time, right? And I appreciated the campiness and silliness of it after I watched the 1999 because I was like, okay, 1959, this is the campiness of 1959. I can accept that. I can understand why people like Vincent Price. He's not for me necessarily, but maybe I just haven't seen enough. So I gave it a 5.01 for a grand total score of a 5.9, which I think is a totally fair score for that movie.
That's pretty
Yeah,
good.
that's
Yeah, that's
actually
not bad.
probably higher than what I would give it if I had just watched it and didn't watch the 99.
Sure.
Our House on Haunted Hill from 1999. IMDb gives it a 5.6. That is definitely people who love the first one who thought the second one sucked. I don't think that's necessarily fair, and we'll go why. But Joey, what do you give the 1999?
Yeah, this one definitely had, like you said, it's product of its time as well. It is one that, like I also said, is one I watch constantly. It is, I mean, I'm trying to think of stuff I said that or I haven't really said on it. I don't know. I give it a 6.3. Not really anything else I can say about it.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. I do enjoy it. I feel like they did as much practical as they could up until the end, where they needed to do a little bit more CG with it, a little more special effects heavy with it. And then they got a little bit too out of sorts.
Yeah.
But for its time, like, you definitely felt like this house was haunted. The very big I like we did state though, like in the very beginning, if this house could change the guest list, why not just go kill the people, bring them to the house randomly before? Like, I don't know why you need to do that, but it's whatever.
I
So
agree.
yeah, 6.3 is what I got.
All right, 6.3. Looks,
it's still good. I love it.
Yeah,
but I like the other one better.
So I totally get that. For me, this was a movie made for me. I love the campiness of the 90s. It has that like edgelordy goth vibe that I remember greatly. When I look back at this movie, I say, hey, movies like this, movies like Bride of Chucky, it's a time capsule of the time in which it was made, right? I probably score this too high, a little egregiously, but I gave it a 7.2. It's fun, it's silly. I would go back and rewatch this happily. I would put this on during a Halloween party and make fun of it with my friends.
It's an easy one to make fun of.
It is.
It really is.
It is. There's enough over-the-top silliness to the movie, and the fact that it tries to take itself too seriously while you have Jeffrey Rush just being the most, you know, parody version of Vincent Price I truly love in this movie. Gives us a grand total score of 6.75, which probably is a little higher than it deserves. But I think it is a very good movie. I think it's a very silly movie. And I greatly enjoy it. Now the question becomes, Joey. I don't even know who to wrap into that question, but
yeah, so the first house one,
so the good or justified?
Okay, so the first one, I think you could say, you could probably make the argument that the Mrs. Lauren,
yeah,
and Trent would be the villains.
I guess they are the villains. Yes.
And I would say that they were not justified.
No, just kill them normal. This is a bunch
don't
of like
do an elaborate scheme.
Yeah, the entire movie is, hey, we have this plan. We're gonna do a bunch of Wile E. Coyote ropes and pulley systems to try to do this thing that we could easily do with like the gun that we were handed almost immediately, right?
Yeah. Car accident. Just do a car accident.
Yeah, just cut his brakes.
Get him out of that way.
Nobody would figure that out in 1959.
No, God no. Now the second one, the 99.
Yeah.
I would argue the house.
Yeah.
And that was a little trickier. Because while I would say you could make the argument that it is justified because of what the doctors did to it.
Yeah.
It obviously is taking its wrath out on the descendants. The whole, you know, sins of the father thing,
right?
But they, like, the descendants didn't do shit. So I can not really I can't justify the house being justified. You know?
Yeah, I think I agree with, like, I understand that the house wants its revenge ultimately, you know, and to take people and all that stuff. But I think you're right. Like, I don't feel like it going after the relatives or people of just having the same last name, because again, KD's character was adopted, you know. It's kind of like one of those kill them all, let God sort it out situations.
Yeah.
But that being said, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it technically qualifies as the house is a bad person. I don't think it's quite justified in it. But hey, that's what makes a good horror movie, is that sometimes bad things are just bad, right?
Yep.
It makes their survival at the end all that better. All right, Joey, I'm going to let you pick next month.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. I thought I picked this month.
I
technically did pick these.
Oh, it's your forever birthday, buddy. I'm going to give you the last three remaining movies that we have to watch. Series.
All right. So we have
Friday the 13th, part 2, and the Friday the 13th 2009 remake.
Okay.
We have Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984 and Nightmare on Elm Street 2010.
All right.
And then we have, I don't know how to pronounce it, number 10.
Suspiria?
Suspiria? Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, Suspiria from 1977 and then Suspiria from the 2018 remake.
You know, I've never seen Suspiria.
Okay.
Although, let's see. We're going into October, so do I want to be... Let's see. What is Suspiria?
I believe, like a weird psychedelic ghost cult movie. I'm not sure. I also have never seen it, I just remember everybody being utterly bullshit that the remake apparently ruined, like, was ruined because it didn't do anything that the original did.
Well, I don't know if I want to make that our Halloween movie, then.
I mean, you know me.
Hmm.
There's one thing the true horrors of the world is ruining people's holidays, so.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah, screw it. Yeah, let's make that one do our Halloween.
We will be doing Suspiria next month, so check it out. Hey, go watch it wherever it is. I know it is on some streaming. It was on some streaming services when I made this list. I believe it was on Max.
Well,
not anymore. Not at time of recording.
Okay, so time of recording, it says Plex, the 77.
Okay.
And let's see, 2018 is on Prime and Freevee.
So we're going to be watching these with a lot of commercials? All right.
Yeah, currently we'll be watching Suspiria.
Yeah, we may switch it up.
Get back to us.
Yeah.
We may switch it up.
We may switch it. I mean, knowing us, we probably will switch it up. I'm not going to lie. I want to really watch Cabin in the Woods. And I had always heard that they made a remake. Or not a remake. That they made a... either a sequel or a prequel or like a spinoff of it. But I could not find the sequel or spinoff. They did make a comedy parody called Another Cabin in the Woods, which had a lot of good reviews. But I love Cabin in the Woods. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Maybe added to the third season. Cause we had the second season already wrapped up, Joey. I don't know if you know that. Or not.
Yeah.
Figured out. So with that being said, brothers, sisters, gender resistors, thank you once again for joining us. Hey, go watch movies. Go watch movies and love them and watch them. Joey, where can they find you and the show and all that stuff?
Yeah, you can find the show over on social media, Comic Book Rundown. Email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us, podcasting app of choice, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Do all that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can find my hobby page where I paint miniatures and stuff. I kicked out of the hobby, no Ian kicked. And more importantly, head over to our Tee Public store. I almost said Tee Bubble, like Ron always does. Head over to Tee Public store. You can check the show notes down below, where you can get, hey, we have a Getting Franchise t-shirt. We have made jokes on this show that then we put on a t-shirt. So do that. Go buy our t-shirts. Anyway, go enjoy the movies that you want to watch. Enjoy it. We will see you next month for Suspiria from 1977, which has a 7.3 from the IMDb, and Suspiria from 2018, which has a 6.7. So, hey, they can't suck that bad, right? Till then,
shouldn't.
Consider yourselves franchised. Especially you, Chris.